The imprint of Ann Arbor philanthropist Molly Hunter Dobson is everywhere in our community. She is a woman with a passion to help others. Mrs. Dobson was the first woman to join the United Way of Washtenaw County's Board of Directors and was honored as the Woman of the Year for United Way's Power of the Purse event in 2020. She was one of the founders of the Ann Arbor Area Community Foundation and also helped launch the Washtenaw Community College Foundation, endowing scholarships and helping refurbish WCC's Child Care Center. Molly Dobson has been a donor, a volunteer, and a leader nearly all of her life. And at 99 years old, she continues to make an impact. Mrs. Dobson, what a distinct honor to interview you on Ann Arbor's talk station, 1290 WLBY. Welcome.
Thank you. This is a new experience for me. So if I fumble, you have to help me.
I certainly will. Tell me about your early life. Where did you grow up and who were your parents?
I grew up in I was born in Detroit and lived there until we moved to Ann Arbor in 1936. Went to school there. I think went through the eighth grade, and I don't have any more friends in Detroit. It's a closed chapter, and I love being an Ann Arborite. That's a privilege, believe me.
So you came to Ann Arbor then in the ninth grade?
Yes.
And where did you go to school?
Well, when I moved to Ann Arbor, I went to University High School, which no longer exists. It was part of the university system and didn't last forever. But then I went to boarding school for a couple of years near Boston. Then I went to Wellesley for a couple of years near Boston. And then what I really wanted to do was come back to the University of Michigan. And I think my family thought I'd be so unhappy here that I would want to go back to the East and complete my education. But I was very happy here and I stayed.
And boy, aren't we glad for that, for everything you've done for our community. What were the names of your parents, Mrs. Dobson?
My mom, they both sort of unusual names. My mother was Delia and my dad was Lauren. They both went to high school together in Duluth, Minnesota, where they were born and raised and stayed a long time before they moved to Michigan.
I understand that you are the great niece of Carrie and Harry Boyd Earhart. How are you related to the Earharts? Everyone knows them, of course, for the beautiful 400-acre estate along the Huron River and that gorgeous Earhart Manor, which is where Concordia University is now located. What is your connection to the Earharts?
My grandmother, Hunter, was Harry Earhart's sister. So they were brother and sister, and he's my great uncle.
Did you spend a lot of time there on that property?
You mean his property?
Yes.
Or our property?
Yes.
It was family. It was close, and there's lots of things that I remember doing that were very special and unusual, even having dinner with a butler and finger bowls.
That was at the manor, wasn't it?
We don't do that at my house, I'll tell you.
What were the dinners at the Earhart Manor?
Yes, we would eat over there in the dining room with lots of help and lots of good cooking. It was always a treat to go over there.
How wonderful. And you remember when that was all apple orchards back in the day, right?
Not the Earhart property. It was not apple orchard, but it was Detroit Edison property that my dad bought. There was apple orchard for Detroit Edison, and my father bought it, and we still had lots of apple trees.
And what did your father do?
Actually, he worked for his uncle, Harry Boyd Earhart, in Detroit at what was first called White Star Refining Company. When it started, cars were just pretty new and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and gas was much a part of the picture, or gasoline, I should say, more refined. I don't know what my dad did. He was a vice president, and there were a couple of vice presidents.
In 1944, you enlisted in the U.S. Navy and served as a communications officer in Washington, D.C. Tell me what that work was like and what you did.
It was a wonderful chapter in my life. Everybody's heard my story about my dad asking me when I was graduating from college here in Ann Arbor, what I was going to do with the future. Can you believe getting to be graduating and you hadn't really thought much about your future? But I said, well, maybe be a stewardess. And his instant return was, do you think that's doing enough for your country? It was at a time when we were at war to the east with a lot of fatalities, and a war to the west with a lot of fatalities. And it, shame on me for not being a little more alert. But at, within 2 days, I bet, from that sentence of his, do you think that's doing enough for your country? The campus was recruiting, and I was signed up to go in the Navy, and actually got four of my sorority sisters and a couple of good friends from another sorority to sign up with me. And strangely enough, we all ended up in Washington, D.C., in the same house. Wonderful, fast friendships. What a blessing.
What a beautiful memory that is. Your father actually encouraging you to give a life of service, to serve your country in that way. Was that unusual to be telling a young lady that this was her destiny, that she needed to give back in this way at that time? Or was everyone immersed because of the war?
I don't know. It was a strange time. I grew up in a family that didn't ask questions about, why do you want to major in English literature? Or do you think you really want to go out on a date with so-and-so? Or just funny questions like that that I never... were never a part of my growing up pattern. But so when a sentence came out like that, do you think it's doing enough for your country? It really woke me up.
You later returned to Ann Arbor after World War II. At what point did you meet your husband, Bill Dobson, who had been the president later of the former Dobson McComber Insurance Agency? He passed away in 2003. But how did you and your husband meet?
Bill went to University High School, and I went to University High School. When I was in the ninth grade, he was a senior, so that was a big deal, and I really didn't know him very well. But when my father retired, he decided he was going to build a swimming pool in our backyard, and he was an engineer, and he just a lot of contemporaries of my brother John's, who was a little older than I was, were around a lot. So that was my opportunity to know all those contemporaries of my grown-up brother.
Did you know then, at what point did you know that this would be someone that you could spend the rest of your life with? Can you share with me some of those early days with Bill?
You know, well, we were at the swimming pool day after day after day all that summer before the boys went into the service. My brother and Bill alike, John to fly, my brother John to fly, and Bill to be serving the Navy as a gunnery officer on a destroyer in the South Pacific. But we just spent a lot of time together playing and laughing, and it was precious.
Your husband also had quite a life of service to our community. Together, you two were really quite a power force in the Ann Arbor area, and what you were able to accomplish and to do as a couple, as a family. Was that something that the two of you discussed, or did it just happen? That this kind
it
of
just happened.
It did?
Yeah. Bill was in business, and I'm sure he knew that in business why it was good to know a broad sector of the community. And with me, it was an opportunity to get away from my three little babies and have some near another, an alternate opportunity to be with people my own age and helping to solve problems that will always be part of the community structure.
Right. We're talking with Molly Hunter Dobson. You're listening to The Lucy Ann Lantz Show on Ann Arbor's talk station, 1290 WLBY. She is now 99 years old, and you certainly haven't stopped. You are continuing to give back in so many ways to our United Way and to many other organizations. Again, being able to stay active and relevant and connected to the community, that seems to be very important to you. Talk a little bit about that and how it maybe has enhanced your life as you grow older.
Oh, I have been so privileged in being a part of so many community organizations, made so many friends, not necessarily my own age, some older, considerably older, some considerably younger. But I think one of my favorite accomplishments is sort of being the mother superior of the teen center here in Ann Arbor, the neutral zone. And I still maintain contacts with their leadership and know what's happening there and help support and consider it a real privilege to have been part of that.
Those are kids that are accomplishing great things as well, from the talents that they exhibit at the neutral zone to the work they do there. That has been a really defining organization, I think, for young people in our community. Tell me a little bit more about your thoughts about the neutral zone and why you believe it's been so important to the community.
I guess I was thinking, knowing the community, that there was no, there were not good links between the high schools. It was always football competition and nothing unifying of the group. It was the competition, and it needed to be done. Those voices and young people needed to meld and know one another, and I just felt very privileged to be such a part of the beginnings of that.
So marvelous. I have heard a story in your early days that you would go fundraising for various groups throughout the community door to door, and invariably there would be the woman would be at home answering the door, the man would be at work. Tell me what you encountered on one of those times when you would try to fundraise by going door to door.
We lived near Burns Park, and I had volunteered to fundraise for some organization. And at that point, fundraising wasn't what it is today. It was door-to-door knocking. And I can't even think who I was raising funds for. But I knocked on the first door, and the woman's answer was, "My husband gives at the office." Then I went to the second door, right on Hermitage Road. "My husband gives at the office." Third door, you won't believe it, same answer. And I said, "Wouldn't you like to give yourself and have a part in this local organization of ours?" And she looked sort of surprised, but she went and got her purse. Well, I said, "Don't you have a purse?" She went and got it and came out, probably gave me a dollar. Women were accustomed to being asked to give. It was sort of a man's privilege. And I had a funny experience once. I remember we were still on Hermitage Road, and someone called and wanted to speak to my husband. It was during the day. And I said, "Well, he isn't here." And they said, "Well, we're calling for the university. We want to ask him to give some money." Well, and I said, "Why don't you ask me?"
Miss Molly, that is beautiful.
It took a long time. I think this was a student, and they had volunteered to call for donors, but it took me aback with that.
You know,
return.
Obviously times were very much different back in the decades that you've been talking about, yet you have been so forward thinking, and you it's almost as though you don't think of yourself as a woman that has to be defined by the terms of the times. Where did you get that from? How is it? Because some of us growing up, you know, and I suppose it goes back to our parents too, but we feel that we have to be how the times are defining us as either women, men, children. You never really looked at it that way, your life, it seems that.
That's right. I never saw that. But Bill and I lived at Pittsfield Village, and I think the first fundraising I did was for the Humane Society. And that would go back to probably 1946 when they were raising funds for their building, which was still alive and very much there. But I didn't think twice about raising funds. If there was a need, when we had three little children, it wasn't, I didn't need extra recreation. But it was conviction and a sense of community, I guess.
Do you think it also had to do with how your parents raised you? They never, you know, they didn't ask questions of why you were doing something. It seems like they let you do what you were destined to do.
Well, I watched the way they led their lives and their giving patterns and the friends that they made and the projects they focused on. My mom was very much a part of Planned Parenthood. And my father must have been, there must have been a United Way. I can remember him selling newspapers on down near jail, Hudson Company, Thanksgiving morning. So there were. I had lots of wonderful, inspiring friends, and especially my parents.
You saw it in action. You know, you do that for the rest of us now. I don't know if you realize that, but by watching what you do and the fact that you're continuing to do it at 99 years old, that really inspires the rest of us in the community to step up and to give of ourselves and to help. And you don't necessarily have to be someone of means like you have been for most of your life, but certainly there are many different ways people can give, aren't there?
Absolutely. Well, and I think it all comes from conviction and caring about your community, wanting it to be a good community, alive and vibrant, and seeing needs and being ready to step up and help resolve those needs.
I remember in your husband's obituary, it said that he had been blessed with a long life, rich with pleasure, privilege, and good deeds. And that really stuck with me. That is a great line that to describe someone about. What a great life to know that you have given.
I think I must have written that obituary. when Bill died, we weren't quite prepared for that. And I just had to put it together by myself. But he had a great sense of responsibility. He was born in Ann Arbor in 1920. Just had a great sense of community and responsibility for enhancing that community and stabilizing it and making good choices. He was a great inspiration to me. And if I hadn't had Bill Dobson, I might not be Molly Dobson today.
Well, I think that started long before you met Bill, but the fact that both of you came together having those convictions and having that volunteer spirit in your hearts made one power couple. We're talking with Molly Hunter Dobson on Ann Arbor's talk station 1290 WLBY. She has done so much for our community, and we salute you today for all of the wonderful ways you've given back. Certainly, it hasn't been all roses for you. You've had heartache in your life besides losing your husband. You lost two children, correct?
Yes.
And how did you not let that stop you from what you've been doing all your life? What encouraged you to move forward? Because it can be so hard, so difficult on people when we lose our loved ones, especially children.
I have a favorite sentence that I keep sharing with others, and it's called, "We keep adjusting." And if we can't adjust in this crazy world of ours, we're in trouble. And I think that if there's an obstacle out there, we need to deal with it somehow and move forward rather than drown in it. All my grandchildren, pretty soon my great-grandchildren will all be saying, "Yes, Grandma, we keep adjusting."
We keep adjusting, even at 99 years old.
Well, that's a good sentence, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
If you can't adjust, you're in serious trouble.
That's right.
And we have to adjust. We're not always going to get it our way, and we have to help solve it when we don't.
Beautiful words from Molly Dobson. What an honor to talk with you today. Thank you so much for sharing your life and your spirit with me and with our community. It's been a pleasure, Mrs. Dobson.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure. It's nice to meet Lucy Ann Lance.
It's a treasure to meet Molly Dobson. And you're listening to Ann Arbor's
Talk. We're friends. That's good.
We are indeed. You're listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.